Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jeb Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Kruger, surprising you with new topics every single week of the 52-week year. And, of course, jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC, and we are coming off of the epic UFC 309. There were some duds, there were some funds, and there was actually duds and funds. Does that really work? I don't know, but UFC 309, it was here, now it's gone, and we went 10-2 on predictions. We did pretty good. We're going to be recapping all of the action, all the excitement, and talking about what is next for all the fighters after their performances at UFC 309. Also on today's episode, some new UFC news has dropped regarding the final events of the year. Going to be discussing those, as well as recapping week 10 of the, or was it week 11? I think it was week 11. Yeah, week 11 now of the NFL season. Of course, new things in pop culture. Got a lot of fun things on today's episode. As we all know, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fought. We will not be talking about that, as that fight was absolutely boring. But let's get into the fun stuff, which is new UFC news, and I have some fun news. Okay, guys, I'm bringing you some fun news. If you have not heard, UFC 310 and UFC Tampa each have new main events. So, new main event for UFC 310, it is going to be Alexander Pantoja versus Kai Asakura. Kai Asakura, 21-4, coming over from one championship in Japan, or he might have been from Rizin, I don't know, but he is a world champion. And you have to think, this is his debut in the UFC, he's getting a title shot. That was the co-main event, it is now the main event. Your new co-main event. Five rounds, not for an interim title, the number three ranked welterweight in the world, Shavkat Rakhmonov, 18-0, 18 finishes, takes on the number seventh ranked, 15-0, Ian Machado Gary. Someone's O has got to go. That's right, Ian Gary back in action, takes on Shavkat. I'm not going to lie, I am very upset Shavkat is not fighting for a belt, okay? But Shavkat versus Ian Gary is way more exciting than Bilal Muhammad versus Shavkat. And the storyline here is insane. Everyone hates Ian Gary. They call him a cuck. They say his wife is like, was he a gold digger or something? You know, they trash him all the time. This is finally his chance to prove them wrong. You're either going to see Ian Gary beat a man who was 18-0 with all finishes, or you're going to see Shavkat humble Ian Gary, and he's going to gain a ton of new fans from it. But I am so pumped for that matchup. You already know I'm riding with Shavkat. Okay, I'm a huge Shavkat Rakhmonov lover, and I don't even hate Ian Gary. I've been an Ian Gary supporter since the start, but I know how good Shavkat Rakhmonov is. And I think on the ground is where Shavkat's going to really thrive here. On the feet, I might give Ian Gary a bit of an advantage, but at the same time, if you remember, Ian Gary wouldn't stand with Wonderboy Thompson. So is he really going to want to stand with Shavkat? We'll have to see. I am excited for that, though. UFC 310, getting a good one. It should be exciting. We'll touch one more on UFC 310, of course. Vicente Luque, who is the number 14th ranked welterweight, was supposed to take on Nick Diaz. A recent video of Nick Diaz in the streets lighting random little pieces of shrubs on fire surfaced, and his mental state is not good at all. The Diaz brothers have taken one too many shots to the head, smoked too many 20s, too many joints, and I just think that the UFC calling off that fight, Nick Diaz remaining retired, is a perfect decision. Vicente Luque will remain on UFC 310. His new opponent, the 14-4 on a four-fight winning streak, Themba the Answer Gorimbo. Of course, the fighter who The Rock gave a house. And by the way, his win over Takashi Soto, great finish. His win over Nico Price, great win. And Ramiz Brahimaj, that win has aged amazingly. Themba Gorimbo, excited to have him back in action. I think he beats Vicente. I think he jumps into the rankings. His grappling has looked fantastic. And as of late, Vicente Luque has not been doing the best. So that fight should be very exciting, as it'll be on the prelims of UFC 310. And the final new fight for UFC 310, this one on the main card. Featherweight matchup between the number 13th ranked Bryce Thug Nasty Mitchell and Kron Gracie. No idea how Kron Gracie is getting another fight in the UFC. Bryce Mitchell, of course, wins over Andre Feely, Dan Ige, Edson Barbosa. Edson Barbosa, probably the biggest win of his career. He is a very good grappler. Very good grappler. You know, unfortunately, the striking, not where it is. But his two losses, okay. Josh Emmett, Ito Pura. That should tell you all you need to know. The only two guys that he has freaking lost to are Josh Emmett and Ito Pura. Ito Pura one has aged tremendously well. Other than that, 16 wins, not too many finishes. He's the decision guy. But when it comes to Kron Gracie is all about jiu-jitsu. He just wants you in his guard. So it'll be very interesting to see the approach Bryce Mitchell takes to this fight. Kron Gracie, his biggest win is over Alex Caceres. Other than that, he returned in, what was it? Was that January? I think he returned in January of this year at some point, and he fought Charles Jourdain and quite honestly did nothing. He did absolutely nothing against Charles Dordain. It was a waste of my time watching that fight. So hopefully we just are done away with Gron Gracie with after this. But we'll see how he does against Bryce Mitchell. But here's one. Actually, we're going to save the best for last. Best for last. New fight in the women's flyweight rankings as the number 13th ranked Jasmine Jasu Devicius will take on the number 6th ranked women's bantamweight, Myra Bueno Silva. I completely got confused there because Myra Bueno Silva is dropping down in weight. You know, former title challenger fought in January for the belt. I thought she was better than she was. She'll be dropping down to take on Jasmine Jasu Devicius, who is 6-2 on a nice little win streak here, dominating wins over and over and over. Most recently, Ariana Da Silva dispatched of her. That one going down February 1st in Saudi Arabia. Cannot believe we're going back to Saudi Arabia. Is McGregor fine on that card? Absolutely not. McGregor just revealed in a lawsuit he cheated on his wife in 2018. I don't know how we still have respect for him. Conor McGregor, they want me to hate you, and I think I'm agreeing with the people. It's getting hard to defend Conor McGregor at this point. Actually, he's indefensible at this point. But let's get into the final announcement made on Friday by Dana White. The biggest announcement. I'm super excited for this. UFC Tampa main event, welterweight, 5 rounds. The number 6 ranked Colby Chaos Covington back in action as he takes on Joaquin Numansa Buckley, number 9 ranked welterweight. I mean, this is incredible. This is incredible. Covington replaces Ian Garry. Ian Garry is supposed to take on Joaquin Buckley here. Instead, you're going to be getting Colby Covington. This is a great, great matchup here because people have been wanting Colby to get knocked out for such a long time. And I mean, he knows his popularity. I mean, after the comer, 2019, great year for Colby. 2019, an amazing year for Colby Covington, especially that fight against Kamaru Usman, legendary. 2020, one fight against Tyron Woodley, it was a good performance. 2021, amazing fight against Kamaru Usman in the rematch. Then waits all the way till 2022, gets another fight in against Jorge Masvidal, silencing all the haters and that, winning the feud. And then doesn't fight till December of 2023. It loses the first 4 rounds to Leon Edwards and then destroys him in the fifth. Literally 10-9s him in the fifth. And now he finally sneaks one in right at the buzzer. And this is a great opportunity. Okay, I know Colby Covington, he likes to handpick his opportunities. But this is a great test against Joaquin Buckley, who is 5-0, I believe. Maybe on a 6-fight win streak at welterweight, coming off a huge knockout of Wonderboy Thompson. You know, his knockout power has proven to be is par to none, I don't know what wording I'm looking for, but he's been doing exceptional. And you're either gonna see Joaquin Buckley get out grappled for 5 rounds, or you are going to see Colby Covington get knocked out cold, which is what a lot of people have been waiting for. I'm a Colby Covington fan. You already know I'm going to be picking him. I mean, out of his 4 career losses, one's to Leon Edwards, 2 are to Kamaru Usman. I mean, come on. Actually, the other one, was that to Thiago Alves? It wasn't too bad of an opponent. Joaquin Buckley, last time he lost, I don't even recall the last time that Joaquin Buckley lost. He's been on such a great run, hasn't lost at welterweight, and we'll see how he does. But I am going to ride with Colby Covington. But, you know, Dana White blessing us with some amazing new UFC news, and I'm absolutely here for it. I love you, Uncle Dana. You're doing an amazing job, and I'm going to work for you one day. I'm going to say that I'm going to own the UFC one day. Why not have ambitious goals? Speaking of news, speaking of exciting, here are your top 10 new things in pop culture, courtesy of Discussing Film. First off, Mark Hamill says he will no longer post on Twitter. He said, "I've fled Leon's sight for bluer skies." Interesting. Okay, so Mark Hamill no longer on Twitter, no longer on X. Mark Hamill, known Democrat, known Kamala supporter. He's probably a bit sour. He's probably a bit sour that he didn't win. Mark Hamill, how about you stick to playing Luke Skywalker? Because other than that, you haven't done too much. So you stay in your lane, and we'll just leave it at that. Number 2, Jesse Eisenberg, when asked if he would reprise his role for a Social Network sequel, said, "I'll do any job that anybody offers us. If there's a car commercial for a Pinto, I'll show up on set. Will I be in that movie? Yeah, I'll be in anything. If you're making a home movie for a kid, I'll be in the home movie." Jesse Eisenberg, one of his best roles, probably in The Social Network, the story of how Facebook was created, which, fun fact, I actually never have seen it. I've heard it's an amazing movie. But, you know, he's a pretty good actor. He's in a lot of things. He can play play the comedy role. He can play the serious role. He's doing pretty good. And by the way, on the same note, you know, I could count this as three, but I'll keep it as two. He recently revealed that they are done filming Now You See Me 3, the movie about magicians. The first one was amazing up until the plot twist, because the plot twist made no sense. Like the plot twist just made no sense. And then the second one I don't remember too well. I actually do got to rewatch those movies. Those were pretty good. Number three, Bob Odenkirk in Nobody 2. It will be in theaters on August 15th, 2025. I am here for it. I am so here for it. Nobody was one of my favorite films. It is literally this normal-looking guy, and he's just like this insane killer, insane assassin from the government. Super good, super entertaining, and for only like an hour and a half movie, it keeps you really entertained. The pacing is exceptional. I'm excited for Nobody 2. Number four, James Gunn says Lanterns will release around the same time as Supergirl in June 2026. It will star Kyle Chandler and Aaron Pierre as Hal Jordan and John Stewart. I'm actually somewhat intrigued in that. You know, Kyle Chandler, I always love seeing him in projects. Aaron Pierre, not too familiar with his work, but I mean, John Stewart, a great role. Hal Jordan is, I don't know which one is the Green Lantern, but I'm honestly, I might check it out. Okay, I give it the benefit of the doubt, but we'll have to see. Number five, James Gunn says all of Peacemaker Season 1 is canon to the DCU except the Justice League appearance. We will kind of deal with that in the next season. So they're probably going to say like he hallucinated or something, but I love Peacemaker. I'm excited for Peacemaker 2, and I'm a big John Cena guy. Okay, that final run, the WWE is going to be electric. You already know I'm here for it. Here we are. The hashtag Game Awards nominees for Best Adaption are Fallout, Knuckles is from Sonic, Arcane Season 2, Like a Dragon, Yakuza, and Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft. All I know is Fallout, so that'll be my vote for the Game Awards. On the same note, the 2024 nominee for Game of the Year are Balatro, no idea what that is, Astrobot. I actually do know about Astrobot, which is just this free thing you get with a PS5, and it's very in-depth, like crazily in-depth, and it's just free. Black Myth Wukong, I was seeing some clips of that on TikTok, looked like a good game. Metaphor Renfantasio, what in the world even is that? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, they're still making Final Fantasies. And Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree. Elden Ring is a massive game, that's what I know for sure, but I'm gonna just say Black Myth Wukong, because I saw some cool clips on TikTok. That's all I know about that. Number six, first look at Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2. Filming has now begun. What? They're making a Season 2 of Monarch Legacy of Monsters? I love the universe. I love the Godzilla, the Kong universe. That's one of my favorite universes out there. I didn't know we were making a Season 2. Oh, that makes me really happy. I'm actually pretty excited about that. Number seven, Beyonce will be the NFL halftime performer for Ravens versus Texans, airing on Christmas Day on Netflix. Beyonce, you satanic ritual, you are evil, you are demonic. I do not like Beyonce. Beyonce is not on the Zachary Brooker favorite list, you know. I'm going to be honest about that. Number eight, Glenn Powell, on the years that he wasn't in demand as an actor when he was younger, he said you sort of have to lie to yourself, at least a little bit, and act like this is the chapter of the story where things just aren't going right. And it turns out it was. And now look where Glenn Powell's at now. He's one of the biggest studs in the entire world. Incredible. Incredible. Number eight, Jude Law has revealed a new script for Sherlock Holmes 3 now exists. There's a great will to make it and a great will amongst us all to get it right to do it. I don't remember Sherlock Holmes 2, but Sherlock Holmes 1, of course, with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, is one of the better movies that I've seen. All the plot twists tie perfectly together. It makes me really want to watch the second one. I just can't recall anything about it, honestly. Number nine, Dan Aykroyd says he doesn't expect to star in another Ghostbusters film ever again. He said, I think probably they're going to move on to advancing it beyond the originals, which they should. Yeah, I have no idea what these new films are doing. They shouldn't have made another Ghostbusters after the first Ghostbusters. Let's just leave it at that. And finally, number 10, Gladiator 2 opens with $87 million in the film's international opening weekend. I am very down to see the new Gladiator movie. I just have to rewatch the first one, because the first one, from what I remember, is a spectacular film, but I just haven't, I'm just not caught up on all my Gladiator lore, if you know what I mean. A huge cast for this film, you know, honestly, they're making it like the biggest movie of all time. I don't know, they're being very ambitious with this. I'll have to check it out. Gladiator 2 will definitely be on my watch list for the year. But those are your top 10 new things in pop culture, not actually 10, you know, we talk about a whole number of of things. But I'll tell you something I am excited to talk about, and that's your NFL Week 11 recap. We had a lot of action. Predictions didn't go too bad. I'm going to go 4-1 most likely in my fantasy leagues, which is very good, including my 16-man league where my team put up a lot of points. So we're going to look at all 32 teams or however many teams that weren't on a bye this week. Look at all the matchups, discuss them, talk about the top performances. Let's get right on into it. Kicking us off with our Sunday, what day comes after Wednesday? That's right, Thursday night football, as we had a little NFC East matchup where the Eagles hosted the Commanders, and the Eagles won 26-18. Eagles now are 8-2, the top team in the NFC East, 6-game win streak now. Commanders 7-4, are second in the NFC East on a 2-game skid. In that matchup, Zach Ertz had 18 fantasy points, Austin Eckler 17, Brian Robinson Jr. 14 for the Commanders. For the Eagles, Saquon Barkley a massive 33.8 fantasy points, Jalen Hurts 18.74, and A.J. Brown 11.5. This game was super close, okay? You know, heading into the fourth quarter, it was 10-6, okay? It was 10-6, and then the Eagles just rattled off 3 straight touchdowns between the 12-minute mark and the 4-minute, 38-second mark. That was just wraps. There was a garbage-time touchdown by Zach Ertz with 28 seconds left. But other than that, there's nothing to be done. Eagles lead the pack in the NFC East. Jaden Daniels in this matchup, 191 yards, touchdown, and a pick. He had 18 yards rushing. You know, this Eagles defense, they're stout, they're tough, and they held everyone in check. Brian Robinson Jr., 63 yards and a touchdown on the ground. For receiving, Austin Eckler, 8 catches, 89 yards, a lot of dump-off throws. Zach Ertz, 6 catches, 47 yards, a touchdown. He did exceptional. And Terry McLaurin, the star wide receiver, held to only 1 catch. Incredible defense by the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, 221 yards passing. He also had 39 yards rushing for a touchdown. Saquon, 26 rushes, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was doing incredible, including 2 catches, 52 yards. A.J. Brown, 5 catches, 65 yards. Dallas Goedert, 5 catches, 61. Devontae Smith, 4 catches, 29. Team effort from the Eagles as they get this one done. Eagles are in firm command of the NFC East. I know the Cowboys and Giants aren't going to be catching up to them. And as of right now, they are poised to be, I think, the number 2 seed, depending on how the Vikings. Yeah, the Vikings will end up being the 5th at this rate. But NFC heating up, Eagles doing good. The rest of their schedule for the year, you know, Rams will be a tough offensive matchup. Ravens was a tough matchup. Panthers is a gimme. Steelers, tough matchup. Commanders will play them tough. And Cowboys and Giants should be gimme wins. We'll see how the Eagles can hang on the rest of the way. The Commanders, you know, similar schedule. I think they'll string it together. Jaden Daniels is and still probably will be your rookie of the year. After that, we got into our Sunday football. We kick things off with the Ravens and the Steelers. And son of a gun, the Steelers own Lamar Jackson. Steelers win 18-16, hold Lamar Jackson to only 14.88 fantasy points. Hold Derrick Henry to 10.5, and Zay Flowers, thankfully, 11.9. He is on my 16-man fantasy team. Love him. For the Steelers, all 18 points scored by Chris Boswell. All 18, 24 fantasy points for Chris Boswell, best kicker in the league. George Pickens, 16.9, Najee Harris, 16.3. Literally, your only touchdown of the game came from Zay Flowers with a minute left. And then they brutally failed the 2-point conversion. It was abysmal. Lamar, 207 yards, touchdown and a pick. Henry, 65 yards and a touchdown. Isaiah Likely, 4 catches, 75 yards. Zay Flowers only had 2 catches for 39 yards. One of them was for a touchdown. That's about all you had. Russell Wilson, 205 yards and a pick. I mean, this was a defensive battle through and through. Najee Harris, 63 yards. Jalen Warren, 41. Justin Fields, 2 rushes, 17 yards. They brought him in twice to run the ball. George Pickens, 8 catches, 89 yards, was the only one getting it done through the air for the Steelers. This was a Chris Boswell masterpiece. And hey, look at the Steelers now. I mean, 8-2. Looking exceptional. 5-game win streak. Incredible. Ravens, 7-4. It's looking like they're going to be competing for that 5th seed in the playoffs. I mean, Steelers are just mounting an incredible run here. You know, they take on the Browns, take on the Bengals, take on the Browns again, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. It's all tough matchups for the Steelers. But this is a gritty team. It's a gritty team, and their defense has only given up 162 points on the year. That is the best point differential in the AFC. I do think there's one better in the NFC. The Chargers gave up. I forgot the Chargers gave up a lot of points. So, yes, the best defense in the league is the Pittsburgh Steelers when it turns to limiting points. So, good job to them. Ravens, I mean, we know this Ravens team is good. Okay, they're going to lose close games like this to better teams. But other than that, they're going to beat all their opponents. By the way, of their four losses, three on the road. So they thrive at home. Keeping us a moving, quick one here. Lions blow out the Jaguars 52-6. Are you kidding me? Mac Jones is definitely not starting again. I'm sure even if Trevor Lawrence is not healthy, they're just not going to start him here. Only good person for the Jaguars was Brian Thomas Jr. 13.6 fantasy points. Should have been 17, but they called back a big 40-yard catch. He was incredible. Brian Thomas Jr., I'm so sorry your rookie year has to be with this awful, awful Jaguars team. What is it? Lions had some big hitters. Amon-Ra, 38.7. Jared Goff, 34.58, and David Montgomery, 24.5. Insane. This was just an outrageous performance. And I mean, the game starts out 7-3 in the first quarter. Then three more touchdowns in the second quarter, two more in the third, a touchdown and a field goal in the fourth. This was an obliteration from the Lions, a statement mark for this team. Jaguars, 2-9, are the worst team in the league, 0-6 on the road, four-game losing streak. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win another game. I'm going to be honest. You know, they play the Texans next week. We'll see how the Texans look against the Cowboys, but little hope there. If they have Trevor Lawrence, I give them a chance against the Titans, Jets, Raiders, Titans, and Colts. But if not, I mean, those are not good matchups, like, in the first place, and those are winnable games. I doubt they'll even win those. It's just abysmal. Abysmal. And with this win, the Lions are the number one team in the league. 8-game win streak, 5-0 on the road, 9-1. Incredible. 336 points scored, 177 given up. They have almost a plus 200 point differential. Insane. Insane. Mac Jones, 138 yards and a pick. Awful. Travis Etienne, 27 rushing yards. Awful. Brian Thomas Jr., 5 catches, 82 yards. Love him. Love you, Brian. Holy cow. Here's your Detroit stats. Jared Goff, 24 for 29, 412 yards, 4 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? David Montgomery, 75 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs, 69 rushing yards, 1 touchdown. Receiving, Amon-Ra, 11 catches, 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jameson Williams, 4 catches, 124 yards, 1 touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs had 1 catch, 54 yards. Insane. This Lions team is scary. All right, they are intimidating, but there's one team they're not going to beat, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. We are much better than them. I know we can beat them. I know we can win the NFC. I know it can be done, but the Lions will be formidable foes. Keeping us moving, Rams beat the Patriots in a 28-22 very close game. Bit surprising. Good win for the Rams. They are now second in the NFC West with a 5-5 record. Much needed. Much needed, I can't lie. Patriots, 3-8, one of the worst teams in the league. They have only put up 182 points. They are still not in the 200-point club. Yikes. They're also 1-4 at home. Not good. Cooper Kupp, 28.6 fantasy points. He was balling. Matt Stafford, 27.8. And Puka Nacua, 25.3. And I have Puka and Cooper in a 8-man league on my same team. Incredible. Kendrick Bourne, 18 fantasy points. Drake May, 17.98. And Ramondre, 12.9. Matt Stafford, 295 yards and 4 touchdowns, was looking phenomenal. Kyren Williams, 86 yards on the ground. Pretty quiet day. Puka Nacua, 7 catches, 123 yards, 1 touchdown. Cooper Kupp, 6 catches, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns, including Cooper Kupp with an insane 69-yard touchdown pass. Absolutely burned the team. From the 50, no one was even by him. Okay, he absolutely burned everyone. As for the Patriots, Drake May, 282 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick, 30 for 40, you know, so he's throwing it. Ramondre, 20 rushes, only 73 yards. Not good. Kendrick Bourne, 5 catches, 70 yards, a touchdown. Hunter Henry, 6 catches, 63 yards. Demario Douglas, 5 catches, 59 yards. Pats will be the Pats, but I just think for now, it's just not their year. It's not their year. Hey, you don't got Mac Jones. I think Drake May has a lot more potential than Mac Jones, let me tell you that. But this Rams team, we'll see how they can hang on the rest of the way. You know, they're a mediocre team. But the playoffs, they're right there for them. You know, as we look at, of course, you're going to have, I mean, you would assume Falcons, Lions, at this point, Cardinals, and Eagles all winning the division. So if you're the Rams, you're competing with Seahawks, 49ers, Commanders, Vikings. I mean, maybe the Saints or Bucks if they can rally late for that 5-6-7 spot. I like their chances to potentially win it out, but we'll have to see. Moving along, Browns and the Saints. This one insane on my bench. Thankfully, I'm going to win Taysom Hill in the 35-14 win for the Saints. Taysom Hill puts up the most points of the week with 41.52. Insane performance. Saints, after being on a 7-game losing streak, are now on a 2-game winning streak. Incredible stuff from this Saints team. Feel good too. Feeling good too. 4-7. I think they could rally to win the NFC South if they really put something together. NFC South is wide open right now. Browns, 2-8, second worst team in the league. Only 162 points put up. They are the worst offensive team in the whole league. Oh, yikes. 2-game losing streak. Rough. Jameis Winston, though, he's a bright spot. 26.6 fantasy points. Jerry Jeudy, 26.2. And David Njoku, 19.1. Alongside Taysom Hill, Derek Carr, 18.72. And Valdes-Scantling, 16.7. Taysom Hill just had a day. Touchdown in the first quarter. Touchdown in the fourth quarter. A 75-yard rush in the fourth quarter. Insane performance. Taysom Hill, occasionally, every year he has that one game where he gets like 40 points. This was that. Jameis, 395 yards and 2 touchdowns. Can't even be mad at him. Jameis Winston played a phenomenal game. Ground game, I can't lie, didn't do much. Nick Chubb, 11 rushes, 50 yards. Jerome Ford, 5 rushes, 10 yards. Nothing. Njoku, 9 catches, 81 yards. Jerry Jeudy, 6 catches, 142 yards and a touchdown. Elijah Moore, 6 catches, 66 yards and a touchdown. I don't like that number. But Browns, you know, it's tough when the offense puts up all these stats and you look and they only put up 2 touchdowns. Insane performance, though, from the Saints. Carr, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns. Taysom Hill, 1-for-2 on passing, 18 yards. Also threw a pick, which is hilarious. Rushed 7 times, 138 yards for 3 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? Also caught 8 catches for 50 yards. I mean, hey, one player cooked your entire team, Cleveland. How's that feel? Alvin Kamara takes the backseat here with only 67 yards. Valdes-Scantling, 2 catches, 87 yards and a touchdown. I don't know what to make of this. Saints might rally. I kind of like them now. Browns, I like Jameis Winston. That's all I'm going to say about that. Colts and Jets, I can't believe the Jets lost again. I'm actually taken aback. The Jets lost again. It's getting insane. Jets, 3-8, 2-game losing streak. They're bad. They are not a good team. The Jets just overall are not a good team. Colts, second in the AFC South, 5-6. They're a game behind the Texans. How is that even possible? How are you a game behind the Texans? I just can't believe that. Truly, I cannot believe that. But Colts, 28-27. Anthony Richardson, 28.08 fantasy points. A great return game for him. Josh Downs, 19.4. Matt Gay, 14 points. Kicker, getting a lot of points. Breece Hall, 31.1 fantasy points. And they don't win. I feel truly bad for him. I truly, truly do. Anthony, 272 yards and a touchdown. Also rushed for 32 yards and 2 touchdowns. Richardson punching in all the tickets. Jonathan Taylor, 24 rushes, only 57 yards. Josh Downs, 5 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. Alec Pierce, 3 catches, 74 yards. Looking pretty good. For New York, Rodgers, 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, you just need more yardage. You need to score when it matters most. You really need to matter. How about that? Yeah, but Breece Hall, 78 yards and a touchdown on the ground. 7 catches, 43 yards. And touchdown through the air. Devontae Adams, 6 catches, 70 yards. He did all right. Colts, I think they could potentially win the AFC South if the Texans keep losing. They should probably beat the Cowboys, but who knows with this team? 2-game losing streak, also 2-3 on the road. Jets, 1-5 on the road, 2-3 at home. It's looking pretty rough. But sucks to suck if you're a Jets fan. I'll tell you what it rocks to be a Minnesota Vikings fan, mother trucker. That's right, 23-13. We get it done. 3-game winning streak, 8-2 record. Yeah. Only 170 points given up, too. We have a great defense. We have the best defense in the league. What am I saying? The Steelers have the best defense. It's the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold, 23 fantasy points. Addison, 15. JJ, 14. Westbrook-Ikhine, 19.7 out of nowhere for this Titans team. What the heck? Will Levis had 15. Nothing much. We're a team effort. It's a team effort with the Vikings. It's not a one-man show, okay? We all put in the work here, okay? Sam Darnold, 246 yards, 2 touchdowns. Didn't throw a pick this game. You know, I'll give that. He fumbled, but he didn't throw a pick. How about that? Aaron Jones, 39 yards on the ground. Cam Akers, 25 yards. But it was Sam Darnold who rushed into touchdown as well. Justin Jefferson, 6 catches, 81 yards. Addison, 3 catches, 61 yards and a touchdown. Cam Akers caught a touchdown. Hawkinson, only 2 catches, but that doesn't really matter. Will Levis, 295 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. he's just not that good. I'm going to be honest. He's not that good. We hold the rushing game. We only allowed, I didn't realize this, 33 rushing yards the whole game. Incredible. Westbrook Ikhine, 2 catches, 117 yards and a touchdown. We gave up we gave up a 98-yard pass, okay, in the third quarter. That was the only doozy of the game for the Vikings, if I'm being honest. But hey, it happens. It happens, you know, it's just how it goes. But I'm really happy with the Vikings' status right now. You know, we're only a game behind Detroit. Okay, and looking at the remainder of our Vikings schedule, we play the Bears next week. After watching the Bears and Packers, I'm confident the Vikings can beat them. Cardinals, December 1st, we'll see the state of the Cardinals. If they're coming into that one on a 5-game winning streak, I might be a bit worried, but if they come off a loss, I would feel much better. Falcons, December 8th, after watching the Falcons be dismantled by a Broncos defense that I think we are way better than, I feel confident about that. Bears game again, you know, with the Bears, Packers, and Lions, it's just always, I feel, a 50-50 split. That's usually how it goes. So, I mean, you could always chalk up all those, win a piece, so we'll have to see. Seahawks, December 22nd. Will probably be a tough matchup, but I don't know. I'm really confident the Vikings can end well. I don't really want to win-loss, because, I mean, I'd have thought we'd have beaten the Rams personally, and we'd lose to a team like the Colts, Jaguars, or Titans, but, I mean, hey, we've swept the NFC South, and we continue to move on to brighter, better days. Titans, there's nothing good I can say about you. There is nothing. 2-8. The only reason the Titans aren't the worst team in the league is because the Jaguars exist. Same division, too. AFC South, rough. Getting into our 3:30 games, or actually, was this 3:30? No, this was still 12:30, not 12:30, 12 o'clock games. Raiders lose 34-19 to the Dolphins. Unfortunate, but hey, I'll tell you who had an excellent game, Brock Bowers, 31.3 fantasy points for the rookie. This is the best rookie tight end. Is he better than Sam LaPorta? I don't know. He might be better than Sam LaPorta. I think so. He was looking phenomenal. And I mean, this was tight end day. Because guess who the top scorer for the Dolphins was? Jonnu Smith, 28.1 fantasy points. Tua Tagovailoa, 23.52. Devin Achane, 20.5. A great day for tight ends in the sport. Vegas, Gardner, 282 yards, 2 touchdowns, a pick. He's not the answer. I hate to say it. Rushing game, too. They don't have a running back. Madison, White, Myers, Minshew, Tucker, Abdullah, even Brock Bowers had a rush. I mean, come on, they don't know what to do. Bowers, 13 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown. He's the man. He's the man in Las Vegas. And I feel bad. 2-8. They're just not a good team. 6-game losing streak for the Raiders. Hey, you know what? You can draft a quarterback. Start Desmond Ridder. Okay, why are we playing Gardner Minshew still? Why am I saying we? I'm not a Raiders fan. I'm a Brock Bowers fan. There's a difference. Dolphins, though, great win. 2-game win streak now. They're second in the AFC East, trying to hunt into that 5th, 6th, and 7th spot. Tua Tagovailoa, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, and didn't get a concussion. That's always a positive. Devin Achane, 73 yards, 1 touchdown, also had 4 catches, 32 yards. Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown, but it's Jonnu Smith, 6 catches, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Great stuff from the Dolphins. That's Zeke's team. We, of course, had Ezekiel Clark on for our UFC 306, 306 preview show, and he's a big Dolphins fan, so good for him. Dolphins picking up some wins. And then after that, this was the final noon game. Packers win 20-19 over the Bears as they block a game-winning field goal. It really is hilarious. The Packers do own the Bears. And I mean, I hate both teams. I mean, come on, Bears. What are you doing? Oh my gosh. Josh Jacobs, 23 fantasy points. Jordan Love, 20. Christian Watson, 19. DeAndre Swift and Caleb Williams both get 16. DJ Moore, 13.7. Bears are now 4-6, 4-game losing streak, yet to win on the road. 4-2 at home. I mean, it's still not that best. It hasn't helped anywhere they go. Packers, 7-3, 4-1 on the road. Good stuff from the Packers. I mean, I was hoping that the entire NFC would make the playoffs. NFC North, I should better say. But, you know, it's looking like it's just going to be Lions, Vikings, Packers. You know, great game from the Packers. Jordan Love, 261 yards, touchdown and a pick is decent. Josh Jacobs, 76 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Love, 18 rushing yards and a touchdown. Christian Watson, 4 catches, 150 yards. Romeo Doubs, only 1 catch for 17 yards. I have to start him next week, I think, so I'm a little worried fantasy-wise, but good thing I didn't have to this week. For the Bears, Caleb, 231 yards. You know, it's not bad. It's just not going to get done. DeAndre Swift and Rashawn Johnson, both rushing touchdowns. DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, everyone was catching passes. Bears, I don't know what to do with you, Bears. I truly don't. It's hit or miss. Hit or miss. I guess you never miss you, what you're going to get with the Bears. But as long as the Vikings beat them, that's all I care about. And hey, we got some matchups coming up. I think we do play the Bears next week. I mentioned that November 24th. So we really got to lock in. We really got to lock in because if I lose the painted figures, Caleb Williams, I'll never hear the end of it. I never will because my entire family is Bears fans. So I don't need that. Do not need that. Getting into our 3:30 games. First one, Broncos. I was mentioning them. 38-6. Destroy the Falcons. Like, not even beat, destroy the Falcons. I mean, holy cow. Ray McLeod, 10 points. Bijan, 10. Those are the highest scores for the Falcons. Bo Nix, 28.78. Jordan Williams, 18.7. Little Jordan Humphrey, 15.2. I mean, it started off, you know? I mean, touchdown in the first. Two touchdowns in the second. Touchdown in the third. Touchdown on the field goal in the fourth. They just never stopped coming. Kirk Cousins, 173 yards and an interception, gets benched for Michael Penix Jr. in the fourth. That's embarrassing. Bijan, 12 rushes, 35 yards. They had no answer. Drake London locked up. Darnell Mooney got injured. Bijan couldn't do anything. Kyle Pitts couldn't do anything. Locked up. I mean, Bo Nix, making a case here. You know, Jaden Daniels, if their team continues to lose, if the Broncos continue to win, Bo Nix could win Rookie of the Year. 307 yards. Four touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Javonte, 59 yards and a touchdown, including a massive one in the second quarter? He had a 14-yard rush, and they were just plowing him into the end zone. It was looking feisty. I was rocking with it. Cortland Sutton, 7 catches, 78 yards, not too bad. Other than that, it was a team effort. Really good defensive game from the Broncos. I gotta give them that. But defensive-wise, they were looking phenomenal. We'll start with the Falcons real quick. 6-5, minus 30 point differential, and they're now only holding a 2-game lead over the Buccaneers. And by the way, Saints, they're 3 games ahead. Their teams are catching up. I mean, the Panthers are on a 2-game winning streak. Falcons really got to figure out what's going on. Panthers got to figure out what's going on, and they got to fix it, or else, not the Panthers, the Falcons. What am I saying? The Falcons got to figure what's going on, because if not, they're going to dip down and they're going to get passed up. Broncos, how about this? I can't even believe this. 6-5, they're third in the AFC West. The AFC West is, you know, pretty good this year. Pretty good. Coming off a win here, I feel pretty good about them. Pretty good stuff, honestly. You know, good for them. They get a thumbs up. Chargers and Chiefs are just going to be too tough to play. But this Broncos team, I like the state of where they're in. Seahawks and 49ers was another 3:30 matchup. Seahawks win 20-17. And how about that? Jackson Smith and Jigba, 21.8 fantasy points. Love to see it. Geno, 15.74. DK, 14. Jackson Smith and Jigba showing out as the number one wide receiver in the Seahawks locker room. I mean, it was predicted during the offseason, and it's coming true. For the 49ers, Juwan Jennings, 25.1. Best game since that 40-point performance. Brock Purdy, 18. Christian, 14.6. This one, I mean, it was competitive down to get-go, but Geno Smith punches it in with 12 seconds left. 49ers just had no time to work. Geno Smith, 221 yards and a pick, but rushed 29 yards for a touchdown. Kenneth Walker, 54 yards and a touchdown rushing. Smith and Jigba, 10 catches, 110 yards, and even rushed one time for 8 yards. How about that? For the 49ers, Brock Purdy, 159 yards, touchdown and a pick. He was struggling without George Kittle. Really was no George Kittle, no Brandon Ayuk. Debo, 4 catches, 22 yards. He was held in check. McCaffrey, 79 yards on the ground. Juwan Jennings, 10 catches, 91 yards, and touchdown. Best part of the day for the 49ers. 49ers are now the bottom of the NFC West, but mind you, they're 5-5. Seahawks, they're 5-5. Rams, 5-5. Cardinals, 6-4. The NFC West is anyone's ball game. As I look at the remaining schedule, you know, Seahawks, they'll play the Cardinals next week, then the Jets, then the Cardinals again, then the Packers, then the Vikings, then the Bears, then the Rams. Those are a lot of 50-50 games they probably should win, but you never really know. As for the 49ers, I don't even know what to predict anymore, because this was a team where everyone's like, they have all the tools to make it back, but you lose Ayuk. McCaffrey started the season out slow. You're going to play the Packers next week, and honestly, I feel like they always lose to the Packers. The Bills in December will be tough. Bears will offer a bit of a tough matchup there. Rams, tough competitive divisional matchup. Dolphins, they should probably win. Lions, I don't give them a shot. It'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see how the season winds out, but who knows? Will they make it back? I don't know. Final 3:30 game, it was game of the week, Bills and Chiefs, and you can't stop him. He was undeniable. Patrick Mahomes fails to win. That's right. Josh Allen leads the Bills to a victory. Plus 106 point differential. 6-game win streak. 5-0 at home. 9-2. They're the best team in the AFC, baby. Oh my goodness. 30-21, including a game-winning 26-yard touchdown rush by Josh Allen to seal up the game with 2 minutes left. I was gonna say 20 seconds. No, but for incredible performance from the Bills. They truly showed up when it mattered. Noah Gray, 18 fantasy points. Xavier Worthy, 16. The best performers for the Chiefs. Josh Allen gets just under 24 fantasy points. James Cook, just under 20. And Curtis Samuel, just under 17. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, 196 yards, 3 touchdowns, throws 2 picks. The Bills had his number. Kareem Hunt held the 60 yards rushing. Travis Kelce, only 2 catches, 8 yards. They held him in check. Xavier Worthy, the only stud of the day. Josh Allen, 262 yards, touchdown and a pick. It was pretty much done on the ground. Rushing touchdown from Allen, 2 rushing touchdowns from Cook. And the defense showing up big. Curtis Samuel, 5 catches, 58 yards. He caught a touchdown. Good work from this Bills team. And they are the best team in the AFC with this win. You know, when I get when you statistically look, oh, the Chiefs, they have one less loss. But, I mean, come on, the Bills just beat them. It speaks for itself. They play a beatable 49ers team December 1st as they go to their bye week. Then it's the Rams, which is a beatable team. Lions will be an exceptional game. I'm excited for that. Pats, they should win. Jets, they should win. Pats, they should win. We'll have to see. I'm liking the Bills' chances to maybe win the division. Actually, what am I saying? I'm completely reading the division wrong. The Bills are in one of the worst divisions, okay? Patriots 3-8, Jets 3-8, Dolphins 4-6. Bills are going to be the divisional winner. I was thinking more of, will they be the number one seed and get that bye? So that's what we're going to have to really look at. We know the Bills are making the playoffs. It's a matter of where they're going to fit into the playoffs. Chiefs, 9-1. You just got humbled. You just got served up a little humble pie if you're Kansas City. And how's it taste? They play the Panthers next week. That's a gimme. They play the Raiders on Black Friday. That's a gimme. They play the Chargers, who are a very talented team. They'll be tough. Then they play the Browns, winnable game. Then they play the Texans, winnable game. Steelers, that'll be a very tough game. And Broncos, week 18. I don't know. Broncos may be playing for a play-in spot. So we'll have to see. But that was an exceptional game. Then what I heard was game of the week. Bengals taking on the Chargers. Chargers win 34-27 on an 18-second remaining 29-yard touchdown rush from J.K. Dobbins. Exceptional. Bengals, man, it is tough. It is tough. They keep losing close games. 4-7, 2-game losing streak, yet they are putting up 297 points for. Their defense has given up 296. 1-4 at home, just tough. T. Higgins, 29.8. Joe Burrow, 29.04. And Jamar, 26.5. The dirty trio. The dirty trio, even the dirty duo of Burrow and Chase. It just, man, they need the rest. They need help. They need help. Herbert, 24.38. J.K. Dobbins, 18.9. Ladd McConkey, 18.3. Good for him. Joe Burrow throws for 356 yards and 3 touchdowns. 28 for 50 on completions, though, is really speaks to the Chargers' defense. Chase Brown, 86 yards rushing. He did all right. T. Higgins, 9 catches, 148 yards. Jamar Chase, 7 catches, 75 yards. T. had 1 touchdown. Jamar had 2. Good performance from them, but sadly, it is, is looking like going to be a missed season for the Bengals. It happens. Chargers, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins, 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ladd McConkey, 6 catches, 123 yards. Good stuff all around. Good job to the Chargers picking up a win. Gotta give them a little clap. A little clap to the Chargers. 7-3, second AFC West. Happy with what they've been doing. 4-game winning streak. Good for them. Unfortunate stuff for the Bengals, as I mentioned, but the season moves on. We'll wish the Chargers luck as they also try and make the playoffs. But that is your NFL Week 11 recap. I don't really care who wins between the Texans and the Cowboys, if I'm being honest. It's up in the air. Doesn't matter to me. But now we get into my favorite part of the episode. I mean, you know me. I love UFC. So let's drop our UFC 309 recap right now. Such a beautiful night from Madison Square Garden. Me with Donald Trump walking off to a big round of applause. You had tons of finishes. Truly, UFC 309 surprised me in a good way. And we kick things off, you know, woman's action, Eduardo Mora, Veronica Hardy. We got right. You know, we got the boring woman's fight right. And, you know, that's just all that matters. That's all that matters. Eduardo Mora wins a 29-28, 29-28, 30-27 decision. Outgrapples her in the first and second, gets outstruck in the third. End of the day, it doesn't matter. Pretty boring, pretty routine. You know, it happens. It happens. Eduardo Mora now, 2-1 in the UFC, only losses to Denise Gomez by split decision. She clearly has good grappling. All right, 3 wins in the UFC, a total of 13 takedowns. Not too bad. Only 11 takedowns. Zachary, do your math correctly. Veronica Hardy, tough loss here, snaps a 3-fight winning streak. It happens. It happens. But hey, plus 125, we cashed an underdog. I told you it would happen, and it did. Eduarda improves to 11-1. Veronica falls to 9-5-1. I don't really think the rankings are on Eduarda Mora's radar, if I'm being honest. But hey, there's always someone who's about to fall out of the rankings that will get a shot or something. I mean, Casey O'Neill, you know, Ariana De Silva. Actually, Ariana De Silva could be an opponent for Eduarda Mora. How about that? As for Veronica Hardy, gosh, I don't know if she's going to stay in the UFC. We'll have to see. You know, she's just, you know, when you're facing a grappler and you don't have the best anti-grappling and you somewhat win the end of round three, I mean, it just happens. So this is one of the only boring decisions of the night. There was one other, there's actually two others, one of which was the other woman's fight on this card, which I swear I'm not a woman's hater. Let me just tell you, there are great woman's fights throughout the year. I'm sure we could find some, just not on this card. Not on this card. After that, Obon Elliott takes on Basil Hafez. And I'm going to be honest, Obon Elliott, you earned my respect. He did not have my respect coming in, but guess what? You've earned my respect, Obon Elliott. He extends his win streak to 8 straight wins, and he gets his third career knockout with a nasty round 3 knockout of Basil Hafez. I loved it. I loved it, man. Even though I didn't predict it correctly, I was still rocking with it. Obon improves to 12-2. Nasty, nasty knockout of Basil Hafez. And Basil, you know, this was the first time he's ever been finished. In his career, he moves to 1-2. And maybe that Jack Della Maddalena fight was a bit of a fluke. I can't lie. 65 significant strikes to 24. I mean, round 1 had his number. Round 2 had his number. Round 3 absolutely clutched it up. I'm just surprised Basil didn't lean on his grappling. Didn't even shoot a takedown this entire fight. I don't know if he was injured or something. But hey, 50K performance bonus comes your way, Basil. Excellent win. Welterweight division. I mean, Themba Garimbo kind of took out the Vicente Luque pick I might have had. But, I mean, Neil Magny could be a great opponent for Obon Elliott. There's a lot of unranked welterweights. Okay, there's a lot of unranked welterweights out there. I mean, you could even go with a little Gilbert Urbina if you want to keep building them up with some knockouts. Tim Means, another great option. There's a plethora of fighters for Obon Elliott. But see, Basil Hafez, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's UFC legit. You should throw on Apex Guard against someone irrelevant, and we'll see if he can hang around. We'll see. I'll tell you who's not going to be in the UFC anymore, and that is Mickey Gall as Ramiz Brahimaj. Ramiz Brahimaj, who was 10-5 heading into this. 10-5 heading in, all submissions. All 10 of his wins coming by submission. Knocks out Mickey Gall in front of his hometown crowd in New York City, baby. And gets a 50K performance bonus. A nasty knockout. He dropped him. He was down on the ground. He landed a couple follow-up shots, but he didn't need to. 2-minute, 55-second knockout for Ramiz Brahimaj. He's been going win-loss since he joined the UFC. 3-3 now officially. None bigger than this one here. Great win for Ramiz, and we called it too. We freaking called it. I always love when I predict these fights correctly. Awesome stuff for Ramiz Brahimaj. I mean, truly, they were just going at it, striking. I'm like, these are two grapplers. What are they doing? And Mickey Gall is actually looking kind of better in some of the exchanges, but then Ramiz landed a big straight, knocked Gall down, and that was that. Mickey Gall, 7-7, 4-fight losing streak, 1-5 in his last 6. He has gone an outstanding. And outstanding, might I add, 6-7 in the UFC. I didn't even know that was possible. Yes, he's going to be cut promptly from the UFC. He is just not up to caliber. And was he really ever up to caliber? I don't know. The Sage Northcutt win was good, but even that, you know, didn't age too well. Tough stuff for Mickey Gall, but I mean, Ramiz Brahimaj, stick around in the welterweight division. I mean, honestly, you could do Basil versus Ramiz. I like that. Another two grapplers who apparently are strikers now. Ramiz definitely better, but good stuff. Good stuff, Ramiz. That's all I got to say to you. You did what you needed to. Came in, got a knockout, and now you're on everyone's radar. After that, heavyweight action as the number 9 ranked Marcin Tybura took on Renata Dinez, and I knew it. I knew Dinez was not ready for the heavyweight rankings. I know when a heavyweight is ready for the rankings, and I know when one isn't. And let me tell you, Renata was not ready for the rankings. Not even close. Gets doctor stoppage after round 2. And I mean, round 1, let me just tell you, Hinata comes out swinging. I thought he knocked out Marcin Tybura. All right, and it didn't even count as a knockdown. It turns out it was more of like a slip push down that landed on him. But Marcin Tybura is able to reverse it and get 4 minutes of control time in round number one. So Hinata drops Marcin, but it wasn't really a drop. Looked like a drop live. Gets on top of him and then gets reversed in just terrible fashion. I mean, Marcin was done for if you're an expert finisher, but Hinata was not. We then, you know, he ends the round, lands some big shots in, kind of just holds them. Nothing as good as round two. You get to round two. I mean, Marcin's kind of like, why should I stand with this guy? Attempts two takedowns, lands the second one. 3 minutes, 17 seconds control time. 87 total strikes to 10, 32 significant strikes to 8. He was landing some horrifically good ground and pound, some elbows, some straight punches. And, you know, the round ends. His corner, Hinata Dinez's corner, has to help him up. He's wobbling to the corner, gushing blood. The doctor was like, this is not going to continue. And Hinata Dinez, he was pissed, but he was going to get finished in round three. 8-1, your only loss is Marcin Tybura. That's not too bad. As for Marcin, you know, talk about a crazy 2024. Starts the year off, main event finish of Tuivasa. August comes around, main event loss against Sergey Spivak. And now, fending off an undefeated challenger. Good stuff for Marcin Tybura. And I knew this coming in. And I've shared this, that he's only legit loss to the best. Timothy Johnson, Fabricio Verdum, Derek Lewis, title challengers right there. Shamil Durkhimov was one fight away from a title shot before he fought Curtis Blaydes. Augusto Sakai in Augusto Sakai's prime. Alexander Volkov, name speaks for itself. Tom Aspinall, your interim champ. And Sergey Spivak, who is a top fighter. So Marcin Tybura has only lost to the best of the best. And gets a good win here. Good win for Marcin Tybura. They're never pretty. They're never pretty with Marcin Tybura. Win or lose, they're always ugly. But he gets it done. And I cannot believe, coming into this one, he was an underdog. How does that even work? Honestly, how does that work? And this just lets me know that Derek Lewis would have knocked Hinata out silly. Marcin was ranked number 9. Stipe retired. He was ranked number 8. So Marcin Tybura should move up to the number 8 spot in the UFC rankings. Hinata Dinez, I mean, there's a plethora of unranked heavyweights. How about Muhammad Usman? Muhammad Usman versus Hinata Dinez. Boom. Fight booked right there. Marcin, I don't really know. You know, Jarzinger Rozenstruik, I think him and Marcin would put on a good fight. You know, if you want to feed Halton Almeida or Sergey Pavlovich a freebie, you could do that fight. Same with Curtis Blaydes. I mean, Marcin Tybura, he's always going to be relevant. He's always going to be relevant. I mean, you know, 39 years old, from Poland. If they are able to go overseas to Europe, like not just Great Britain, but somewhere actually in Europe, like Poland, like Germany, like, I think of Georgia or something. I think we get him on that card. I think that'd be really good for him. So, good stuff, Marcin. After that, what would have been fight of the night had Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler not happened, David Onama and Roberto Romero, by the way, Roberto Romero taking this on short notice, talk about a war. This was absolutely fantastic. Round one, one of the best rounds I've ever seen, a knockdown from each man. 44 significant strikes to 39 in favor of David Onama. This was crazy. Round two comes around. David Onama, 36 significant strikes to 26. This unranked Roberto Romero stepping in on short notice, giving it his all. Round three comes around. 41 significant strikes to 9. David landed a takedown. I mean, I knew Onama was going to win this. But in this fashion, Roberto Romero fighting for his life. I loved it. Roberto Romero, you have just earned me as a fan. Big fan of you now. I was very impressed with this one. And, you know, this was going down at lightweight. These are both featherweights naturally. Onama, I think he's ready for the rankings. I'm ready to throw him to the rankings. I mean, I think Edson Barbosa has a fight coming up against Steve Garcia Jr. I would love Onama to fight the winner of that. Bryce Mitchell taking on Kron Gracie, we mentioned earlier. I think that would be a great fight. Even the 12th ranked Giga Chikadze, I would love all those options for David Onama. I'm pretty high on David Onama. As for Roberto Romero, whether featherweight, whether lightweight, I mean, he's earned a lot of fans from this one. I mean, you're taking on a guy in David Onama who is gritty, who is intense, and you're going the distance with him. I was fairly surprised and fairly impressed with this performance. Nowhere near a featherweight ranking at all, but there's a ton of unranked featherweights. You know, Jonathan Pierce just lost to Pat Sabatini. How about Jonathan Pierce? That'd be a great test for him if he wants to remain in the UFC. I like that fight, and I think that's one they should make. After that, Jim Miller, baby. I had knockout. I had round two knockout, but Jim was like, Zachary, hold your popcorn. I'm going to submit Damon Jackson in round number one. And that's exactly what he did. Jim effing Miller. Can you believe this guy? 41 years old in front of his home nation. He's from New Jersey, but New York counts. Getting his 21st career submission. Most wins in UFC history. He's getting up there for most finishes. He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And started his 2024 with a submission. Lost that decision to King Green. And now ended with a submission of Damon Jackson. Beautiful. Just beautiful. And I mean, the striking was phenomenal. Damon mistakenly attempted a takedown. Left his neck open. And the guillotine was right there. And he quoted, Dustin Poirier, always jump the guillotine. Great win for Jim Miller. Feel good win too. I love when Jim Miller wins. He said he'll fight anyone, anywhere, anytime. I don't know who they're going to have him fight. Yeah, no, there's unlimited guys for Jim Miller to fight, legends across the game. I personally think the Tony Ferguson fight just should have happened by now. That is just a fight that I would have loved to have seen. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, Jim Miller, a lot of options. Damon Jackson, 2-fight losing streak now. He is 1-4 in his last 5. You know, Damon Jackson was fighting at featherweight for a long time, decided to move up to lightweight. We were mentioning the guy, Roberto Romero. You could even drop back down to featherweight, stay at lightweight. I think Roberto Romero, Damon Jackson, winner stays in the UFC, loser, maybe not ready for him. Good stuff there, though. Final prelim of the night, Marcus McGee, Jonathan Martinez. This had to have been the most frustrating fight if you're a Jonathan Martinez fan. Now, as a Marcus McGee fan, I'll stress it towards the end. I can't lie. Marcus McGee gets the unanimous decision. This was just, I don't even say this was boring because, you know, we saw both women's fights here were pretty boring. This one, Jonathan Martinez, this was his fight to lose. You know, round one, only attempts 18 strikes, only lands 7. Okay, Marcus McGee attempts 75, lands 33. Marcus McGee just outstrikes him. Nothing huge on damage, but outstrikes him. Wins round one. Round two comes around. Jonathan Martinez only lands 17, gets 42 significant strikes landed on. He's now down 2 rounds. Round three comes around. Martinez starts picking it up a bit more. Still gets outstruck 27 to 24. But even when he had moments, you know, it was like, why are you pulling up against the cage? You know, Marcus McGee's leg was super hurt. He could barely stand. And Martinez just had negative fight IQ. And Jonathan Martinez has now gone from being on a 6-fight win streak, okay, 2-fight losing streak in 2024, and he's going to get kicked out of the rankings. Marcus McGee's going to replace him in the rankings. I'll be honest, I don't want to see Montel Jackson and Amin Zahabi booted. Okay? Now, by the way, Amin Zahabi and Montel Jackson could be the next opponents of Jonathan Martinez or even Marcus McGee, but I just don't think he should be in the rankings. You know, he just didn't show it against Jose Aldo and especially didn't show it against Marcus McGee. So bye-bye. Bye-bye, Jonathan Martinez, from the rankings. As for his opponent, Marcus McGee, the first fight in his career, he goes the distance. But by the way, 10-1 record now for Marcus McGee. Make it a 6-fight winning streak. 4-0 in the UFC. I mean, you don't get much better than that. Good stuff for Marcus. You're going to be ranked 13th, 14th, or 15th, somewhere in the rankings. And I saw people saying Mario Bautista. I've seen some people throw out Kyler Phillips, Amin Zahabi, Montel Jackson. It's going to be a ranked opponent. So good stuff to Marcus McGee. Very happy for you. But that bottom 15 at heavyweight, you know, I keep saying the names Montel Jackson, Amin Zahabi. We'll throw Kyler Phillips in there. Any of those opponents for either of these guys. But Jonathan Martinez, I say we throw him down the barrel a bit and keep Marcus McGee in the top 15. With that, we got into our main card, and it was kicked off with a bang as Mauricio Ruffi of the Fighting Nerds took on James Goku Lontop. And all I got to say, people are going to be like, holy cow, he didn't finish James Lontop. But what you really should be saying is, holy cow, James Lontop is a tough SOB. Round one, Mauricio, 21-19, landing some big shots on James. James eating them all. James eating them all left and right, left and right, refusing to go down. Round two, Ruffy dropped him bad. Ruffy dropped him so bad, falls him to the ground, is punching on him. James survives. I couldn't even believe it. We're going crazy. And then round three, James outstrikes him 45-22. You know, you're going to see that 90-67 for significant strikes. Okay, that gap occurred in round three, that massive gap. And 0-for-6, the takedown defense from Ruffy was immaculate. They teach great takedown defense at the Fighting Nerds camp. Good stuff. Good stuff for Ruffy. Did exactly what he needed to. I think this was just more a showing of how tough James Lontop is. And personally, I think we keep him. I think we keep James in the UFC. I mean, 3-fight losing streak. He's 0-3 in the UFC, but I mean, he really showed off here that he is a tough SOB. Okay. Ruffy, 11-1. All right. We knew how good he was. 6-fight winning streak, 2-0 in the UFC. This was impressive. First fight of his career. He didn't get a finish. So humbling experience, but you need a bit of humble pie here and there. So I think this was good for him. This was catchweight, but this was unofficially lightweight. I don't know. I don't think a ranked opponent is in Ruffy's future, but there's a lot of options. I mean, Jim Miller could be one. Goodness me, you could do whatever you want with him. Drew Dober. Ooh, I really like a Drew Dober matchup. That one would be fun. Good stuff for Ruffy and Lontop. I hope they keep you in the UFC because you really showed your heart in this one. After that, I wish this wasn't the last boring fight of the night, but I mean, the number 9 ranked Vivian Araújo, number 11th ranked Karine Silva. I mean, Karine Silva loses this fight in just awful fashion. It wins round one, 22-17, outstrikes Vivian. Then Vivian, you know, outstrikes her barely, 14-11. Karine lands a takedown, then gets reversed. Vivian ends up on top, wins the round. We head to round three, final round. Vivian, 3 of 3 on takedowns, wins the fight. And I mean, significantly wise, Karine was better on the feet, 58-48. She did gas at the halfway through round two, which really hurt her. Also went 1 of 7 on takedowns. She was just shooting relentlessly. But I mean, really tough loss. Snaps a 9-fight winning streak, her first loss in the UFC as well. Vivian Araújo, gonna do what Vivian Araújo does. Goes the distance and will beat your favorite fighter. Truly, truly how it goes. Vivian will remain ranked number 9. Karine will be ranked number 11. You know, Karine, she'll fight down Cortez, winner of Jasmine, Jessie DeVicious, and Marijuana Silva, people like that. As for Vivian, you know, she could have a fight with Jessica Andrade. I don't really know. I mean, this was a doozy. This was like, you're watching this and you're going, why? How do we watch Ruffy and Lontop? How do we watch Onama Romero, Ramiz Brahmaj, Oban Elliott get their knockouts, and then this is on the main card? It was just like, ugh, just, it sucked. All the energy that Ruffy had was sucked out of the arena from this fight. And then we had a middleweight matchup. Bo Nickel, for the first Bo Nickel test of his career against Paul Craig, and he passes. He passes in the most unexpected fashion. He didn't attempt a single takedown. He outstruck him casually every round, 16-13, 22-21, and 16-13. Landed one big shot at the end of round three, and just gets it done. So Bo Nickel goes the distance, first time in his career, didn't gas out once, 30-27. You know, improves to 7-0. He's 4-0 in the UFC. But it was just kind of, it was like a sparring match. It was a sparring match. It was very technical. It wasn't rushed. And as weird as it was to say, you know, this didn't even suck the energy out of the arena. This was just unexpected. We were expecting a fast-paced energy off the bat. And Madison Square Garden was booing him relentlessly. And, you know, Joe's talking to me. He's like, how do you feel about this? And he's like, I don't mind it. You know, I think this is a good win. You know, I took on a tough guy. I proved I can go the distance. He mentioned guys like Conor McGregor, John Jones, Charles Oliveira. They went the distance early in their career against tough-looking guys. And it's honestly a great point. So Bo Nickel, you know, verge of the rankings. You could even call him the number 16th ranked middleweight. I honestly feel they're going to test him. Maybe a Jack Hermanson test, maybe a Joe Pyfer test, Michelle Pereira, Anthony Hernandez. They're going to give him someone. But I think this was a good thing to show that Bo Nickel can strike for 3 rounds and that he can go 3 rounds. Paul Craig, I mean, 3-fight losing streak. He hasn't won since July of 2023. He's 1-5 in his last 6. I mean, of his 9 career losses, he's suffered 5 of those in his last few fights. I mean, I don't know what to expect. They might keep him. They might let him go. I think middleweight, there's a lot more for him to do at middleweight. There's up-and-comers. There's up-and-comers at middleweight for him to fight. So I think they keep Paul Craig around. The co-main event, the best fight of the evening. The best fight. It won fight of the night. It was a fight of the year. Probably not, but I mean, it is up there. Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler. We knew it was going to be action. Did we think it was going to be 5 straight rounds of action? I didn't for one, but I mean, the number 2 ranked Charles Oliveira beats the number 7th ranked Michael Chandler in a fight of the night. And I honestly, let me start with Chandler here. Okay, Chandler, 1-4 in his last 5, 2-4 in the UFC. They've all been fight of the nights. They've all been great performances. It kind of sucks. It kind of sucks that he's in this position, you know, where he just can't win. But he's so action-packed. He brings it every time. He's a performer. And I honestly think, you know, he could go on a Tony Ferguson run where he never wins, but he's entertaining in every single fight. So we'll say that. As for Charles, big bounce-back win here. He's gone win-loss since that big win streak was snapped by Islam Makhachev. And now he's going to get a title shot. Now as for the fight, this was crazy. This was so unexpected, as we just did not expect it to go all 5 rounds. And for Charles Oliveira to go 5 of 12 on takedowns, 15 minutes of control time, unexpected. Round 1, I mean, Chandler bringing the thunder, outstrikes him totally 35-18, but Charles 1 of 2 on takedowns, 3.5 minutes of control time, 11-8 significantly, got it done. Round two comes around. Pretty similar. Charles just lands a takedown, which we learned afterwards that he actually had a torn ligament and his foot was hurt. So Charles gets a bit of, a pass, if you will. Round three comes around, 27-13, 1 of 3 on takedowns, another big one. Round four, Charles, another takedown. But it's like, even though he's like just grappling him, it like wasn't boring. It's weird to look at the Karine Silva and Vivian Araújo fight where grappling's taking place, or I'll even say Bilal Muhammad, Leon Edwards, but this fight was just nonstop action. And then round five comes around, and we all kind of go, okay, well, he needs a finish. Chandler hasn't won a single round. He got 10-8 in on a judge's scorecard, and he comes out swinging, and he clips Oliveira twice, and Oliveira's like grabbing his eye, and he's taking him down, and he's punching him, and eventually Charles has to try and shoot a takedown, and then Chandler ends up on the bottom, and then Oliveira ends up on his back, but end of the fight, Chandler stands back up with him on his back, slams him back down. The crowd was going ballistic. He does it again, picks him up with him on his back, slams him down. Charles is waving his tongue out in the air. It was absolutely hilarious. And then Chandler like jokingly tapped to end the fight. I'm watching that live. I'm kind of like, what's going on there? Like, did he tap? But I don't know. Great win for Oliveira. 88 significant strikes to 84, favor of Oliveira. 117 total strikes for Oliveira, 150 for Chandler. Chandler did get 2 minutes of control time, but round five, 40 significant strikes to 12. It's just the same. Charles was able to rally. And there was this insane ending to round five where he was just bashing the back of his head. It was like, why aren't you calling this? These are clearly back of the head shots. I had no idea what was going on. He also had some fence grabs in there. Chandler, kind of a rough return, but fight of the night return. Can't be mad at that. So Charles Oliveira will take on the winner of Armin Tsarukyan and Islam Makhachev. There's a odd reality where he maybe takes on Max Holloway, but I mean, Michael Chandler called out Conor McGregor again. That fight makes even more sense now, if I'm being honest. But there's some other fights. I saw people saying Paddy Pimblett. I saw people saying the winner of Dan Hooker, Arnaldo Moicano. I think there's fun fights for Chandler, okay? And I think we should give Chandler a winnable fight, okay? Let him knock out someone like Paddy Pimblett. Let him knock out freaking Dan Hooker again. Let him knock out Arnaldo Moicano. Let's give Chandler a win, okay? But excellent performance, a great co-main event, and everything I expected. I mean, I expected a quick finish. I mean, I was heavily surprised with a good five-round decision. Main event, John Jones, Stipe. I mean, we absolutely predicted it. You know, and I can't believe we nailed it. Round three knockout from Jones. I didn't think it'd be on the feet. I was thinking more it was going to be a takedown with some ground and pound, but John Jones gets it done. Round one, 10-8, 42 significant strikes to 6. Shot one takedown, landed it, and just landed some heavy ground and pound. Stipe survives, makes it to round two. Stays on the feet the whole round. Jones outstrikes him 20-16. Stipe landed a couple good shots, and then round three, Stipe just looked tired. He was like, this isn't going to go any farther. And then John Jones lands a perfect spinning back kick to the gut, and Stipe went right down. Couple follow-up punches, and that was that. John Jones remains your champion. No shocker here. No shocker. If anything, people were clowning on Jones for going to round three with Stipe. This version of Stipe was even worse than the last two versions we had seen. Stipe retires. You know, he'll be removed from the rankings. It's a shame he didn't get a send off of any regard. You know, he didn't want to put his gloves down, but you know, ending your career, okay, your losses are to Francis Ngannou and John Jones, those aren't too bad, okay? And this guy's been title fight since 2016. Great career for Stipe Miocic. John Jones, man, you know, the win streak, you know, is officially I think on paper a 6-fight win streak. Of course, he is 28-1 with one no contest. He's unofficially 30-0. You know, honestly, John Jones is 30-0. I think we all can acknowledge that. And since his return, 2 performance bonuses, 2 finishes, it's insane. So great win for John. When we look at the UFC pound-for-pound rankings, you know, he's at number 3. He got Pereira at 2, Makhachev at 1. I'm seeing rumors that he's moving up to 2, which wouldn't surprise me. But I think with the state of where we're at with Islam Makhachev, I just don't think that you can have him pass Makhachev. But you could have him pass Pereira. If I'm being honest, you know, I don't really care. Para, Makhachev, Jones, I'll even throw you to Pereira, Bilal Muhammad, Driscoll's Duplessis. I mean, Rob, these guys are all on win streaks. They're getting finishes. And even Tom Aspinall at 8, you know, got to give them their dues. But when we talk about what's next, Stipe's retiring. John Jones, what's he going to do? He's either going to retire or fight Tom Aspinall. He's been given the ultimatum. If he wants to fight Ox Pereira, Dana White made the great case. Look at what John Jones did to Stipe, take him down. He'll just take down Ox Pereira and maul him. He won't stand with Pereira. That'll never happen. So John Jones, Aspinall, the only way we see John Jones, John Jones says he doesn't want to retire. He says he wants to keep fighting. He wants to test himself. And I think it's going to get to a point where, you know, when you have so many people saying that like this is the last guy, this could be your retirement fight. This is honestly the last guy that John Jones has to beat. I'm going to be honest. There's no one else. No one's going to say, oh, what if he would have beaten someone at light heavyweight? No. I think everyone can agree John Jones would probably beat a majority of the guys at lightweight right now. But when we talk about heavyweight, Dismantle, gone. Volkov, Pavlovich, Blades, Almeida, Spivak, Miokic, Tiberia, Rozenstruik, Lewis. I rolled off the whole top 10. None of those guys. It's Aspinall. And if John Jones retires, they will forever say that he knew he could not beat Tom Aspinall. Now, I'm going to be honest. Aspinall and Jones, I don't know who to pick. I would not know who to pick. I really wouldn't, because I thought Gon would go out there and do well against Jones, and he had no takedown defense. Now, Aspinall is just too fast of a starter. All around one knockouts over the last few years. Like, that's, you know, the Tibera, the Blades, the Pavlovich. He's just doing it all in round one. It's really hard to say how would he do against John Jones when he gets past 1 minute. Or maybe he even does go out right out there and knock out John Jones. But two fights, we haven't seen Jones faced a lot. You know, Stipe was pushing the pace a couple of times, nothing ever enough to damage. But John Jones gets it done. I wasn't surprised. I was fairly happy. Good win for John Jones, his 11th career knockout, 18th career finish. Good stuff for him. But that'll do it, folks. That'll do it. We'll send UFC 309 to the records. I mean, when I look at the whole card, pretty good. Pretty good. Two duds on the main card, but three of the five fights on the main card are good. I mean, especially main and co-main ending good. That's how you end a perfect card. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for today's episode. A lot going on in the life of Zachary. A lot of stressful things, but you know, whenever I'm on the podcast, whenever I'm talking about UFC, it's always a bit of calm, always a bit of relax. And guess what? We'll be doing another episode this week where we drop our UFC Macau predictions. That's right, we're going to China. Piotr Jan, Deveson Figueiredo, an actually amazing main event taking place. So stay tuned for that. And we have special guests coming up towards the end of the month. I'm excited. And guess what? I'll catch you all next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.